This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned. Because you know I got a lot of that stuff.
Yes, ma'am.
And with me, as always, is my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
Doing very well. Not loving the weather. It's sunny.
It's sunny. It's just a few more days, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Just a few more days, I think.
When you hear 40, it's like...
My nose starts to run. I was just walking the dog the other day, and it's not that cold. You know, it's cold for
yeah.
us. I walked around my complex once. I get home to my house, all my fingertips are numb. It's ridiculous.
I know. We're not used to it.
Up north, they got shorts on when it's this temperature. It's crazy.
Went out to dinner the other night, and I had on... Oh, big sweater and leggings, and they got the people at the table beside me, shorts and t-shirts.
They're tourists.
Canadians, yeah, for sure.
My sister had like over a foot of snow in Maine.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, I hope Janny got out. My cousin was flying out of Montreal, but they were expecting a storm that night, and they weren't sure if they'd beat the storm because they were coming down to Miami.
Oh, my goodness. I was talking to some woman from Spectrum the other day because I had some issues, and... She was in Buffalo.
Oh.
She goes, I'm kind of used to it. I kind of like driving in the snow. I'm like, ooh, God bless you.
Driving in
it? Yes, driving. It's kind of fun, she said.
I don't like driving in the clear weather.
I don't think it's so fat. No fun to me. And we have Matt on the boards today. Hey, Matt.
Hello, ladies. How are you?
Joyful and grateful and glad that you're with us today.
Glad to be here. The way I look at it, every day above ground is a good day.
Yes, it is. And I want to give a shout-out to our newest listeners. We have Ginny in St. Pete. We have Gloria in Tampa. And we have Cece in Buffalo. They're talking about Buffalo.
Oh, welcome.
Plenty of time to listen to the show.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, that's up by my neck of the woods.
Is it?
Yeah. New Yorker originally.
Wow. Oh, too much for me. It just makes me shiver just thinking about it.
I know.
Just makes me shiver thinking about it. So I just lost my train of thought after that. I don't know what I was going to say.
Well, I could tell you a story.
Yeah.
I went to the casino last night for my sister's birthday.
Yeah.
And I won $1,200.
Yay!
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Maybe you've got to buy a lotto ticket now with that money, some of that money. At least one.
To buy a teeth.
Yes, you've got some teeth issues, I'm sorry. It's no fun. But how fabulous was the baby shower last week?
I tell you, I don't know how your daughter does it with... working three jobs, and she had it perfect.
Yeah, it was so beautiful. It was just so beautiful, and Skylar and Devin were so happy. It was just so nice.
It really was lovely. Everybody had a good time.
Yeah, to have the family together and everything, it's just a nice thing, and it's such a joyous occasion. And all that cute baby stuff, I mean, come on. Little bathrobes with little slippers and all that kind of stuff.
And Isaac did a wonderful job cooking.
Yes, he did. And it was all delicious. I finished the last of the egg casserole this morning.
You took a lot home, didn't you?
Well, she was like, take half of this stuff, because I figured I have people at the house. But they bought stuff, too.
I know.
But Jen came over yesterday and got all her stuff out of my freezer, because she got a refrigerator, so that's a good
thing. Oh, did she get her?
Yeah.
Was she able to find it? Did she have to go to Rent King? Or
I don't know where she went. She was going to like three different places yesterday.
Crazy.
Yeah. So, we have a guest calling in today, and his name is William Branham, and he is a former U.S. Navy SEAL with 26 years of service, and he's the founder of New Recovery. So he's the founder and CEO of Naked Warrior Recovery, a CBD company focused on the recovery of veterans and first responders. He's a retired Navy SEAL with 26 years of service, and I'm going to let him tell you all the rest about him in a second. Are you with us? Hello?
William?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Awesome.
How are you today?
I don't know how great my... I'm doing all right. I don't know how great my audio is from calling from a phone, but we'll work through it, I guess.
Sounds pretty good to me. Where are you?
Hawaii.
Oh, you poor thing.
It's not that much different from where you are.
Yeah, we're pretty lucky.
I don't know. That's the one thing on my bucket list.
It's exactly the same, except there are mountains here, and there are no mountains where you are.
Yeah, but you have bigger flowers. Hibiscus
maybe.
Are like big. I'm coming.
So
come on down.
Yeah. So I'm really glad we have a chance to talk today. We were introduced a couple of weeks ago, and I've been reading your story and looking at your websites, and I think it's absolutely fabulous. I'm a big firm believer in the military and our military. My granddaughter just came for her baby shower last weekend from Colorado. Her husband's in the Army in Colorado Springs.
So
grateful for what everybody in the military does for us, and I'm always have so much concern about veterans after the military.
Oh, yeah.
We see a lot of that right here in Florida. I know that the American Legion Hall down here in Madeira Beach is the largest one in the United States. So there's a lot of veterans down here. So tell us a little bit about your story, William.
Where should I start?
Start from the beginning.
I grew up in...
from the womb forward.
There I was. The light. Someone smacked me right on the butt. So I grew up in a little town, Meridian, Mississippi. Not a lot going on there. I was very poor growing up, kind of had a mediocre mindset.
Mm-hmm.
But I was heavily involved in the Boy Scouts, and eventually I went to this national jamboree. It's a thing that happens every 4 years. I couldn't afford to go, but because I was so involved in the Boy Scouts paid for me to go.
Very cool.
And I met another kid there, and this was my the summer between my 11th and 12th grade of high school.
Okay.
And so the guy was like, he already had his future figured out. He's like, well, when I graduate, I want to go to the Naval Academy. I want to fly F-14 Tomcats, like the movie Top Gun. And I want to be a Navy SEAL. And I'm like, that's cool. What's a Navy SEAL? And so he told me it's like the most elite military organization in the world, the hardest military training, blah, blah, whatever. And I was like, that's cool. That's what I want to do also. I always knew I wanted to be part of some sort of elite military organization. I just didn't know what that meant. Right. I grew up watching, John Wayne, John Rambo.
Yeah.
Kung Fu Theater. We only had four channels when I was growing up, so I watched all four of them.
We only had two in Canada.
And so those were my role models growing up, G.I. Joe. And so I knew I wanted to be part of some sort of military, elite military organization. I didn't want to be part of like the big green machine of the Army or mm-hmm. anything like that. But I didn't really know anything else. I'd heard of Army Rangers. I'd heard of Green Berets. But I certainly hadn't heard of Navy SEALs.
Okay.
And so they were like, oh, they have the water component and they scuba dive and they do all this other stuff. I'm like, that's cool. That's what I want to do, I think.
Yeah.
And so I got back from that trip. The Navy recruiter calls my house because that's what they do, because they're just trying to get people in the Navy. And he's like, hey, have you ever thought about joining the Navy? And I was like, well, I have. But if I had not gone to that National Jamboree, I would have told the guy to stuff it, because the Navy was the last organization I wanted to join, because they have these big gray things that float out there in the ocean that
it seems like they do nothing.
Right. It's actually like I think the Navy is probably the biggest blue collar worker organization in the world of all the military, because what they do, they work on machines, they work on the maintenance of the ship, whatever that is.
Right.
So I joined the Navy to be a SEAL, but before I could go to SEAL training, I had to get a skill in the Navy, a job in the Navy, so that I could advance.
Right.
And so back then they didn't have the SEAL job. It was like a collateral duty that you did. So I went to Gunner's Mate School, so I thought that was I thought Gunner's Mate School had something to do with guns, and it kind of does. Of the 6 months of that school, we covered 1 week of small arms, like taking guns apart and putting them back together. The whole rest of the course was electronics, pneumatics, and hydraulics.
Oh wow!
Like I said, that's what it's all about. It's like working on these big gray things out there in the ocean, and it's like a little city. And so that's really what the Navy does. They do a really great job of building, of giving people skill sets that they can take into you know, the blue collar world if they want to do that. Yeah. And the discipline and sort of the framework to do that. But that's not what I wanted to do. I had zero intention of doing that. So when it came time to graduate from that school, I had still not passed the SEAL screening test. And so I was like, well, let me get in better shape. I'm going to go to this other school for 4 months, and then I'll go to BUDS. I'll go to SEAL training. Right. And what I didn't know is after I took that four-month school, I had 24 months of obligated service to a ship in Yokosuka, Japan.
Oh, my
God. So all of a sudden, my dreams are dashed. I'm like, oh, my God. And so I went to the ship. I did my time.
I did my time.
And it came. I spent my time in purgatory, and it came time for me to go to, you know, my next command, whatever that was going to be. And for me, I was like, I want to be a SEAL, so I want to go to SEAL training. And so the guy who determines where you're going to go next said, you're absolutely not going to become a SEAL because that four-month school that you went to made you too critical to the Navy, so I'm not going to let you go become a Navy SEAL.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, that's not cool, bro.
Yeah.
And so... It didn't matter what I did or how many letters of recommendation or anything else I got, he still said no. And so one day, the chief of naval operation, who came to my ship in Yokosuka, Japan, and just to kind of put into perspective who the chief of naval operations is, he's the most senior person in the Navy.
Okay.
The only people who are more senior to him is the Secretary of Defense and the President of the United States.
Wow.
That's it. So he came to my ship in Yokosuka, Japan. He didn't go to any other ship. He only came to mine. He had, you know, CNO's call where he basically talked about his vision of the Navy. And this is, you know, what I think is going to happen. Does anyone have any questions? And I raised my hand. And I was the second person he called. And I said, yes, sir, I joined the Navy to become a Navy SEAL. I think I deserve a chance to go. My detailer won't let me go. He says, I'm too critical to the Navy. What do you think?
Wow.
He turns to my commanding officer. I went straight to the top. So he turns to my commanding officer and said, is he a good guy? And he was like, yeah, he was the sailor of the quarter this quarter, which is like employee of the month.
Okay.
And he turns back to me. He's like, check, you'll be in the first class after your PRD, which is planned rotational date.
Good
Six
for
weeks
you.
Later, I'm off to California to start SEAL training.
And, you know, with you, between meeting that kid at the camp and being there that day, sometimes you're just in the right place at the right time.
Right. Sometimes it's luck. You know, luck is when preparation meets opportunity.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
I got lucky.
Yeah.
That BUDS train, not so. That's pretty hard, though, eh?
Yes, ma'am. It is difficult. But I think, you know, it's only hard if you want it to be hard. I had a great time there.
Yeah.
However, saying that, it did take me 13 months to finish that 6 month block of training because I did get injured a few times.
Wow. Wow.
You were
I just start over a few times.
All right, so then what happens after that?
Eventually I graduated. I went to my first SEAL team. I learned very quickly that, you know, the hard work, it just has started. Like, it wasn't hard going through BUDS. I mean, it was hard work, but it's a completely different kind of hard when you get to the SEAL team. So I got to my first SEAL team. Eventually, I went to sniper school. I was teaching sniper school when 9/11 happened.
Wow.
Then we started deploying to Afghanistan and then later to Iraq. And then 7 combat deployments later and some other deployments. I retired out here in Hawaii because we have a very small SEAL team out here in Hawaii after 26 years of service.
Wow.
And then I had to start my life all over again. I had to figure out what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen any of those Avenger movies.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, there's one where the villain Thanos, he like snaps his fingers and half the world's population vanishes. Actually, like the universe population vanishes. And everyone's like, oh, my God, where's my family? Where's my people? Where's.
Right.
That's the way I felt when I retired.
Wow.
And yeah. So it took me a long time to kind of get my act together. And along the way, I discovered this molecule called CBD. And CBD helped turn down the noise in my head because, you know, honestly, I was using alcohol as my medicine to kind of dull out the noise that I have in my head.
Yeah,
you know,
that's all it does, dull it out.
it just dulls it out. It doesn't make anything better. And so CBD was, it was a modality. It was something that helped me kind of turn down the noise so I could have more positive self-talk, so I could start getting myself going in the right direction. And then eventually I started a CBD company, and there's a story behind that.
So I want to hear it.
So CBD, someone gave me my first bottle of CBD.
Okay.
And this was in 2019. I retired in 2018. CBD became legal federally by the passing of the Farm Bill December 20th of 2018.
Okay.
I tried CBD for the first time in April of 2019, I think. And I was terrified to try it. You know, I'm a child of Nancy Reagan's War on Drugs, Just Say No.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh my gosh, drugs are bad. Okay, I can still see that frying pan.
Yeah.
With the, like, this is drugs and this is your brain on drugs. Yeah, exactly. You guys know.
Yeah.
And so I still have that vision in my mind. So I'm like, oh, drugs are bad. But I'd heard so many people talk about like how it was helping them. You know, the first time I had heard about it, it was on a podcast driving to work, and the guy was talking about, everyone knows about THC and medical marijuana and all this stuff. And he said, the next thing that's gonna be big that has been shown to help a lot of people, and this was before it was federally legal, is CBD, this molecule called CBD, because it helps with, you know, chronic inflammation, it helps with pain, it helps with stress and anxiety, it helps people get better sleep.
Inflammation is the number one killer.
100%. And no one talks about it.
No one talks about it. But that is the number one killer, because it leads to everything else.
Yep, 100%. And so, and it helps, and it also helps with certain kinds of epilepsy, childhood epilepsy and, mm-hmm. and some other things. So I was driving when I heard this, and I like pulled out my notebook driving down the road, and I wrote the letter CBD. And eventually, like I said, I tried it. And because a friend of mine gave me a bottle. I happened to be in Virginia for some stuff, and I had lunch with a former teammate of mine. And I said, after lunch, I was like, so I'm going to see if I can find some CBD here in Virginia, because maybe what you have in Virginia is better than what we have in Hawaii. I have no idea. I didn't know anything about, you know, anything right. about it. And he's like, oh, if you want CBD, I've got some at home. He's an Instagram influencer, so people send him stuff all the time. So he gave me a bottle. And then I took it for the next 30 days, because it's a 30-day supply in there.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't notice anything really happening in my life.
Okay.
What I did notice is after I finished taking it, and I stopped taking it, I started getting a little more agitated.
Okay.
And I wasn't really sure, and so I did a little reflection, and I was like, maybe CBD made me less angry.
Right.
And so I bought a different brand, and I tried it, and I had similar results. And so what I realized after I went back and kind of did this self-assessment is that, you know, I like to use the analogy that water boils at 212 degrees. It doesn't boil at 211 degrees. It boils at 212 degrees.
Right.
And so I was probably living my life at 210 degrees.
Yeah.
I wasn't far from that boiling point.
Yeah.
And over time, I went from like, you know, that first 30 days, I went from like 210 to 205 to 200 to 195 to 190, maybe 185. I got out of that red zone. My fuse got longer. And so when I stopped taking CBD, my fuse got shorter again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm like, maybe there's something to this. You know, when I retired.
Because so many people think, oh, my goodness, I'm going to take some of that CBD and I'm going to be so damn high and I'm not going to be able to do nothing.
Right.
And that's not what
it
is.
And it doesn't do anything. There's zero psychoactive, you know, effect from CBD. The psychoactive stuff comes from THC, and I don't have a problem with that either. But, you know, CBD, you know, speaking specifically for that molecule, and I was like, well, maybe this is my new mission, my new purpose. Because when I retired from the Navy, from the SEAL teams, I was like, I lost my mission, I lost my purpose, I lost my team. I was like, oh my God, I'm completely lost. And so I'm like, maybe CBD is where I need to be. Maybe this is my new mission and purpose. And so I met a girl in the at a business summit. That the guy who gave me that first bottle of CBD invited me. He said, you can come and you can be my VIP guest. It was like, I don't know, like $5,000 to show up at the thing, and I got to go for free. So that was awesome.
Yeah.
And there was a girl at the conference who was had a, her own CBD company, and she was putting CBD into kinesiology tape. Mm-hmm. If you see, like, athletes where they have, like, taped shoulders and knees and stuff like that. So she was putting CBD into, like, that kind of tape for the inflammation and pain and things like that. And so I tracked her down, and I was like, hey, you're the CBD girl, right? And she said, yes. And I said, I want to do CBD. And she said, and really what I wanted is for her to hire me and teach me, and I could help her business. This right. was my thinking. And she said, so do you want to do A to B, B to B, or B to C? And I was like, I don't know what those letters mean. I want to do C, B, D.
Right.
And she laughed, and she said, well, why don't you just start your own CBD company? And wow. I said, well, I don't know how to do that. And she leaned in, and she said very quietly, and she said, you are a Navy SEAL. You can figure it out. And so I politely asked her for my man card back. And so she gave it back to me, so I didn't have to walk around the rest of my life. Yeah.
William, we got to hear from our sponsors, so hang on. We'll be right back, okay?
Go for it. Go for it.
All right. It's time to hear from our wonderful partners. So, because you know the deal, if you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is, things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And we're back, so let's continue, William. So she said, why don't you start your own company?
Right, and so I was like, okay, fine. I went home and I Googled how to start a CBD company. And through my research, I found that, you know, more than 70% of the products that were on the market were not good. Without throwing too much shade, you know, the FDA and other...
This was in the very beginning.
The very beginning, yeah. This is 2019.
Right.
And they said most companies, like, more than 70% of the products are not good. And, you know, the testing had been done where they found, like, you know, high levels of heavy metal, mercury, arsenic.
Oh, wow.
Lead in the product, high levels of pesticides and herbicides.
No wonder
like
people
that.
Were afraid
and,
of it. And,
Right. And you know, one of the things that one of the reason that it was doing that is because, you know, it was like people just like they wanted to get rich quick. Oh my God, it's legal. Let's go. It's legal weed. Like, so they were taking like their illegal marijuana plants and extracting oil and like selling that to whatever.
Oh,
and so the hemp plant is where CBD comes from.
Right.
And hemp is a bioaccumulator. That means it pulls all the good stuff out of the soil and all the bad stuff out of the soil. It's like, it's such a powerful bioaccumulator. They're using hemp at Chernobyl to clean the radiation out of the soil there. So maybe go back and repopulate that area one day.
Wow.
So it's a very, very powerful, bioaccumulator. So you want to have like good farming practices. So you want to have, you know, to have a good quality product. And so I went out in search of like the highest quality producers with the highest quality farmers and things like that to eventually become USDA certified organic. And so right now all of the oil that is in our products, it's all USDA certified organic. Not every one of our products are USDA certified organic just because of the process of making it that way.
Uh-huh.
But just to kind of talk to the quality, the things that we do that other companies were not doing is a lot, you know, some of the bigger name companies, they might test the oil in an independent third party lab when it comes out of the plant, but they don't test it again when they put it in the, you know, make
process.
It into a tincture or a gummy or a topical or something like that.
Right.
And they never test it the second time. And so what we do is we test it the second time. Number one is to make sure it has what it says
Right.
It has the amount of CBD that we say it has in the bottle. It doesn't have like there were no like contaminations that happened, you know, in the manufacturing process. And so just to make sure that we're, you know, it's my name on the product. So
yeah.
I you know, I came from, you know, the SEAL teams, and we really focus on quality over quantity. And so I want to make sure that the product is the highest quality product on the market.
Right.
And so that was my original focus, highest quality CBD on the market. That was my mission. And then I looked a little bit deeper. What are we doing? What's a bigger mission than like just the quality product?
Okay.
Well, I looked at where I came from. I looked at, you know, the veteran community, and I found the number that 22 veterans take their lives every single day.
22.
And actually, you know, research has come, like newer research has come out, and they think that number is doubled. It's 44 a day. And
yeah,
my dad
is
actually
too.
One of those 22.
Your dad?
22 or 44,
I'm sorry.
Or whatever. Yeah, thank you. And so that became a very personal mission for me. So,
yeah.
You know, our mission at Naked Warrior Recovery is to eliminate veteran suicide. I mean, I can't even imagine what it is for law enforcement or any of the other stuff, especially back in the kind of pandemic days,
where no
police officer could do anything without being, you know,
yeah,
ridiculed or whatever. So, that's kind of where we are today with Naked Warrior Recovery. I'm doing some other things as well, but yeah, that's
so.
That's,
where did the Naked come in there?
Great question. So, I spent 26 years in the Navy as a Navy SEAL. Right. And so if you go back to World War II, if you go back to the movie Saving Private Ryan, before that first 20-minute scene of the assault on Normandy,
mm-hmm.
before that happened, many, many months ahead of time, the Navy went out and asked for volunteers who were good with demolitions and they could swim. And these guys, they took little rubber boats from the big boats out in the ocean, and they took these little rubber boats. They parked about 200 yards off the coast, jumped in the water, swam to shore, did reconnaissance of the beach, got back in the water, did reconnaissance of the under the water. You know, they measured the depth mm-hmm. of the water to make sure that these landing craft could come in, and they also looked for obstacles, and
mm-hmm.
they marked these things down, and they would do these surveys of the beach, you know, 300 to 500 yards a night. Go back to the ship, map everything out, the next night go in. And that's how the battle plan was created.
Wow.
For Normandy, for these guys. And then they were disbanded after, you know, that assault, after that battle.
Right.
And then in the Pacific, sort of the island campaign, the Marines were, you know, going to these islands, and they would hit these barrier reefs, and they would run off wearing like 60 or 80 pounds on their back, and they would think they were in 3 feet of water, but they were on a reef, and they would run off the edge of it and drown in 30 feet of water.
Oh,
and
wow.
So the Navy recommissioned these guys to go in and do these hydrographic reconnaissance and reconnaissance of the beach and come back. And then they would go in like right before the assault and then blow holes in the reefs,
right,
or any obstacles that were in the water. They also did that in Normandy. You know, they had a 70% casualty rate in Normandy.
Wow.
But so these guys in the Pacific, they basically went into combat wearing little teeny tiny swim trunks, a K-bar knife, a slate that they wore around their neck to take notes on, a mask and fins. So they were called the Naked Warriors.
Wow.
And it's cold that
and
Pacific.
So, the further you get closer to the equator, it's much warmer. But yeah, for sure, up in like California area, it is extremely cold.
Yeah.
That was the predecessor of today's Navy SEAL. And so I was like, well, let's just like make it. You know, it also gets a little bit of attention as well. And
yeah.
So I have a slogan. My slogan is Get Naked. And that slogan, and there's a lot of meaning to that. So when I talk about getting naked, I'm talking about taking that ego that you're carrying around off. Take that armor that you're wearing off.
Yeah.
And be the naked warrior that you need to be. Expose yourself so you can find the healing that you need. That's what I had. I had to like really take my ego and set it aside.
Yeah.
And ask for help so that I could get better. You know, and then I've also turned naked into an acronym, and this is something that I get from Sage. So now I speak, you know, around the country and soon around the world. I have a speaking engagement in Canada in April, actually.
Yay.
So naked is, it's also an acronym, and the acronym, and it's 5 secrets to think like a Navy SEAL. And the acronym is, the N is for never quit. The A is accept failure. The K is to kill mediocrity. The E is expose your fears. And the D is to do the work.
Very nice.
And you have to do it every single day. And so if you want to think like a Navy SEAL, you have to get naked.
Very nice.
I like their uniforms, the Navy.
You like the uniforms? My dad was in World War II. My dad was a gunner on a ship. So.
Oh, right on. My grandfather was as well. I have the picture of the ship and like all the kamikaze planes that he shot down. And he said, I shot down a lot more than that, but those are the ones I got credit for.
Yeah, I remember one of the guns backfired in my dad's face, and he used to have these little holes under his nose. That's how the story went. It was very interesting. So,
right?
What else are you doing?
So I also do, because I can't sit still, I also do business and leadership coaching.
Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit.
Like keynote speaking. So when I retired and I started a company, I had no idea how to run a company. I had no idea about business. They don't teach you that in the military.
No.
They kind of do a little bit, but not really.
Right.
They don't teach you marketing or anything else.
Right.
So I eventually hired a couple business coaches, and one of them was like, why aren't you coaching? You should be coaching. All the knowledge you have from your time in the SEAL teams and your time in all this other stuff that you've done, why aren't you doing that? I'm like, well, I don't think I have anything to share. Like, what do people want to know about what I have? And so it was a little bit of imposter syndrome that I've had to kind of get over. And so now I'm helping, you know, billion-dollar companies and to smaller companies, you know, really help build teams, help leaders really focus on different things, help them think differently, think outside the box. Because everyone, there's a formula that most people think that this is what you need to do. Well, if that formula isn't working for you, you need to change the formula.
Exactly.
Try something different.
Exactly.
Even if you fail, that's okay.
Exactly.
But don't keep doing the same thing and failing. I think there's like the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and again, expecting a different outcome.
Exactly.
Do something different. Do something radically different. Even if it's like, if it feels like this is the wrong thing to do, try it anyway.
Just try it. Yeah, just try. You know what? I am always open to the possibilities in life. Because if you don't keep yourself open, you're going to miss some good stuff.
Yes, 100%.
So what is...
Let's see. So...
So...
Go ahead.
I'm thinking with doing this coaching, I think, because you've learned a lot since you're out of the military, but I bet a lot of it is lessons that you learned in the military.
So it's a blend of both. I didn't really understand what I had learned until I got out and I started interacting with other people. And I just started giving, I actually did like the first like year and a half, 2 years, I had friends that I coached for free.
Right.
We would just sit down and talk about their problems. How do you solve the problem? Blah, right. blah, blah. Whatever. And they would go and they would do those things and they would get results.
Yeah.
And then we would just continue working. And so that helped build my personal credibility to myself. Like, maybe I do know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Maybe you could charge something.
And that maybe I could charge something and maybe, yeah, turn this into a living. And so while helping other people, because really at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. It's about helping other people.
Right.
And being of service. I spent my entire life being of service to the country, to the men that I was leading. And now I'm a person of service. So I love to give back, but I'd like to be able to eat at the end of the day as well.
Yeah, it's always a good thing.
I don't coach for free anymore.
No. But there's a journey to there. I mean, I haven't been on the radio since day one. You know, I took a long way to get there, to get to the show, to get to public speaking, to get to, and you just make your way.
Right. And, you know, you have to pay your dues. You have to do the reps. You have to, you know, it's like working out. You don't go to the gym one day and you're totally buffed and in shape.
Right.
You have to do it every day. It's consistency and consistency and consistency and over and over and over. And,
yeah.
and it's never a straight line.
Yeah.
And so if I had not gone through all of the lessons that I've gone through, all of the failures that I've, you know, experienced over time, then I wouldn't be where I am today.
Right.
I would be somewhere else. And I would be mediocre and maybe like sitting in a cubicle being incredibly unhappy.
Well, you know, it's like everything that I've been through in my life, you know, to get to where I am, it makes me more connected with everybody else because I've been there. I've done it. I have empathy, you know, and just we all can do it.
As you say, right. Fake it till you make it.
How everybody fakes it till they make it. Everybody has imposter syndrome. Everybody goes through that stuff. It's okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what I want to say about you is you're actually, if you think about it, you're more successful than Oprah Winfrey.
Wow. Whoa. She's not as rich.
Success is measured in many, many different ways.
And but, I'm her best friend, so.
Right?
Lynn's my gal.
Right? But you know, she started in radio and then she failed. But then she kept going and tried different things over and over until she eventually became very famous and very rich.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know, the whole thing is, too, was that you said, though, boils down to helping people. You know,
right.
Years ago, I worked a corporate job. I made a lot of money. But it didn't make a difference in this world at all. When I made my decision to do this, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to make a difference in the lives of people.
But you
I have
also
met
need
so
to
many
eat,
people
so.
With that exact same thing. You're, exactly. You still got to eat.
Yeah. And that's okay. And that's okay. But because that's your own issue.
Right.
You know, once I was like, am I worth it? And do I charge this? But then most of the time when you tell somebody this is what I'm going to charge you, they go, okay, fine.
Exactly.
You know? You're like, okay, good.
I mean, you know, that the number is in your head. And I have multiple business coaches. And for one-on-one, I don't pay anywhere close to the numbers I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah.
I don't pay anything like this. But, you know, I have one coach who charges $100,000 a year for coaching.
Wow.
The other charges $150,000 a year for coaching.
Well, evidently they're getting results.
And, yeah, but they didn't start at that number. They started at a much lower number and worked their way up.
Right.
But, you know, one of them... The guy who charges $150, he was charging $100, and he was just doing that just because he's like, I don't really like doing one-on-one coaching because there's too much pressure there.
Oh.
And so he charged like this crazy number, and he was like, oh my God, people are paying it. And then he was, you know, paying for coaching, and his coach was like, you need to charge more. And he's like, I don't think I can do that. And his coach was like, that number is in your head. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
People... You provide a value that people want to pay for, so they will pay you for that value that you bring.
Yeah, but you do have to pay your dues. I mean, what I got paid
you
to
do.
Speak 15 years ago, I now get paid 15 times that amount. But I had to go
That's
on
awesome.
That journey.
Right.
And you
I'm on that journey now.
Too.
Yeah. I've done coaching. I've done speaking for free. I've paid to be on a stage before.
Yeah, it's okay.
I've paid to be on multiple stages.
It's okay.
Just to get the reps in, get in front of people. Because, you know, for me, really, speaking in front of people from stage is more scary than I'm more comfortable in a gunfight than I am like standing on a stage speaking to people.
Really?
And because I've been trained how to be in a gunfight, I've done that, you know, pretty much my entire adult life.
Right.
And so, but I haven't been on a stage in front of hundreds of people or 1,000 people before. Good. You know, no one trained me how to do that. Like, that was just mm-hmm. some reps I had to establish along the way.
Yeah, yeah.
And once I decided, you know, once I created a message that I thought was good enough to share, then I'm like, okay, let me get on stage. I'll pay you to get on your stage. And then hopefully that turns into revenue just so I can get the reps and things like that.
Yeah. So, William, what's the last thing you want our listeners to hear today?
Let's see. I'll tell you what. If you want to learn to think like a Navy SEAL,
yeah,
go to the website. It's the number 5SEALSecrets.com. 5SEALSecrets.com.
Okay.
Put your name and email in there, and I'll send you a PDF that basically is how you get naked. The never quit, accept failure, kill mediocrity, expose your fears, and do the work. And if you want CBD, the website is nw-recovery.com or nakedwarriorrecovery.com. I've made it nw-recovery.com because maybe people don't want to write naked in their search engine. I don't really know why. It was just an epiphany I had one day. So I made it nw-recovery.com.
We have you all been naked at one time or another.
Hopefully soon again.
Yeah, and I'll put all the information in the show also, William.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, let's catch up on the phone next week or the week after.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks so much. Have a delicious day.
Have an awesome weekend.
Thanks. Now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, so don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Introducing the life-changing Footbar Walker.
I'm Peggy from Danville, Kentucky, and I'm 91 years old. The Footbar Walker revolutionized my care of George. It absolutely benefits the patient and the caregiver both, and that's the beauty of it. It's so easy to use. It folds up just like a dream. I got it in and out of the car without any effort at all. The saving that I made from having to put him in a nursing home came to about $192,000.
Does someone you love use a walker? Do they struggle to get up from a seated position? Are you a caregiver dealing with physical pain and stress as you help your patient? The Footbar Walker was designed to assist not only the patient, but also the caregiver. Patients have more control standing up, and no lifting from the caregiver is required. See how it works at thefootbarwalker.com. That's thefootbarwalker.com. Peggy, would you recommend the Footbar Walker?
Do I ever? I would not be in the health that I'm in today at this age had it not been for the Footbar Walker.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
So that was really interesting talking to William. A lot of good stuff. You know, I'm really concerned about the amount of veterans that are committing, taking their lives.
And you can't blame them. They come home and they don't get the help they need.
And the health care. And so many of them just hold it in. So, you know, I know especially in this Pinellas County area, everyone knows a veteran. So just check in on your neighbor. Check in on your friend. If you haven't talked to them in a while, make sure everything's okay. Because this has been very hard, especially since with the COVID and everything. Now there's more. The new cooties are coming out, so people are afraid to leave the house and stuff like that. And think about trying CBD. I know a lot of my caregivers has helped them tremendously. I had a caregiver who... Her dad was so agitated, and he couldn't get along with any of the caregivers that came in from the agency. Once he started taking the CBD, he was good to go. So I want to encourage you to go to Connecting Caregivers Radio, because we're going to pick out the winner of the caregiver contest in 2 weeks. So go to lindaburhans.com and enter a caregiver. It's very easy to do. There's a short little form to fill out. Every single person that's nominated receives a gift. And then we have our one grand prize winner. And the winner is just picked randomly, because every single one of you caregivers are winners to us. We so appreciate what you do. We know it's not an easy road. So please do that.
It does only take a minute, because I did it. Minute. I did it under an assumed name.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll be winning.
Maybe. You don't know. Also, if anybody needs help with incontinence supplies, we have Diapers for Dignity. You can get them from the Disability Achievement Center in Largo. And the number is 727-539-7550. Go to my website, lindaburhans.com, under events. You'll find my support groups by other facilitators, my journaling workshop, some new speaking engagements that are coming up. There will be a support group next Friday.
Nice. Friday,
the first Friday of the month. And then the second Friday of the month.
It's the first Friday. Oh, my gosh, another month.
I know. It's so fast. So fast.
Good. I can't wait till it's April and lovely weather again. I mean.
I know. It'll be here before you know.
I know.
So, caregivers, you know how much I appreciate everything you do. If you need any kind of contacts, information, if I don't have the answer, I will find someone who does. You can contact me through my website or at lindaburhans@aol.com. Tune in next week for another fabulous show. Sean Scott, attorney Sean Scott, will be back. If you have any questions, please feel free to email me during the week or call in during the show. Some people aren't so comfortable calling in during the show, but you could email your questions to me during the week for Sean, and I will give it to him next week. So take care of yourselves, everybody. Remember, I love you, God loves you, and have a delicious day.
And you know where else. morning. Oh yeah, babe, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together and call my name out loud now. Soon I'll be knocking upon your door. Just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh, yes, I will see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, yeah. All you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, ain't it good to know that you've got a friend? People can be so cold. They'll hurt you and desert you. Well, they'll take your soul if you let them. Oh, yeah, but don't you. Just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Oh, babe, don't you know about winter, spring, summer, or fall? Hey, now all you've got to do is call. Lord, I'll be there, yes, I will. You've got a